Disclaimer notice, the views presented in this program may not reflect the views of the University of Connecticut, WHUS Radio, or the staff of the station. Some content may not be suitable for all audiences. Hi everyone, welcome back to the third episode of Listening to Medical Minds. My name is Farnaz and I will be one of the hosts going forward.
And I'm Fanola, and I will also be a host.
Today we have a guest with us. His name is Sid. I will let him introduce himself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sid. I'm a freshman at UConn and a MCB major. And I'm currently in the first year on the pre-med track.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I will also go forward and introduce myself. My name is Farnaz. I am a senior. I am a triple major in MCB pathobiology and individualized. And currently I am in my senior year, so I will be applying and taking a gap year for medical school. Fanola, what about you?
So I'm Fanola. I'm a sophomore. I'm a physiology and neurobiology major, and I have currently decided to switch into I went from like pre-med to pre-optometry, so I'm just trying to find shadowing for that currently.
Awesome. So today we're going to be talking about cultural stigma and family stress when related to mental health, and especially in the pre-professional field. Some of the reasons that I think personally that stigma does exist in the medical field, I think for one reason, a lack of understanding. Mental health conditions are really often misunderstood by people who haven't experienced it. So when people go to doctors, they don't really know what they're talking about unless they have that same experience. I think same goes with professional culture. I know a lot of like doctors who do suffer mental health problems, but because of the fear of having to be tough and resilient in the field to be able to be successful, I think a lot of people don't speak up, and that mental health continues to drag on day to day. I also think that there's still a stigma in society, and that hasn't gone away in a while. And also the lack of access of mental health care. I think it's gotten a lot better, but I think we still have a lot of work to do. So those are some of the reasons that I think that stigma is still evident in the medical field. Let's talk a little bit about family culture and anything to do with that. I will pass it on to Fanola and Sid if you guys have anything to say.
Personally, my parents weren't born here. So it's just there's that expectation to just do better than them. My dad says all the time to me, I expect you to be better than I was. So I guess it kind of starts off there.
I would say one thing that's really common that we see is that idea of when you do well in school, or even if you do bad in school, it's that idea of where did you go wrong, or how can you do better? That's what's always emphasized. It's not always the you did great this time. Your parents are always looking at how can you do better next time? So it's that idea of always trying to achieve more, not looking at, what did you achieve this time? It's about what comes next.
Yeah, I think for all three of us, I guess, all of our parents came from somewhere else, and they came here and, they wanted us to be better. And that's great. And I know we're all grateful for that, but it does put a lot of pressure on us. And if we don't do well or even better than our parents, a lot of the time they get upset, we get upset, and we feel we're letting them down. Yeah, I honestly have this conversation with my parents all the time. My parents were born in Bangladesh. And my dad, both my parents couldn't pursue what they wanted to pursue because they wanted to they wanted to be financially stable. And for that reason, they came here and they started their profession. And because of that, there is a lot of pressure on both my brother and I to do well in whatever we want to do. And if you ever, I know my brother has had this conversation with my parents before about other things. And I know sometimes it turns into a conversation about being grateful for what we have, because we do have better opportunities than our parents, but it can be really stressful personally.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because it's just pressure kind of gets to you sometimes, because you're and even you see maybe your other relatives that are completing it. And then sometimes you're I feel a little bit I'm falling behind from them, or like there's always that constant like pressure there. And you're even like, say, like compared to your cousins who are like have the same situation as you, and then you're, I don't know, there's just constant pressures from them, and like you want to make them proud, so that's like, that's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah, that comparison thing I think resonates with me a lot. Like the idea of like, you know, you're, especially like when it came time for college admissions, it was like, you know, this person got into Harvard, this person got into Brown, and you know, I was coming to UConn. It just, UConn's a great school and stuff, but like people just made it seem like it wasn't, because they were comparing you against all these Ivies and stuff. And it just made me feel at the time just like I wasn't in a great situation, even though I was going to, like, I had a great opportunity in front of me at one of the top schools in the nation. So I think it just puts a lot of pressure on us just in this comparative culture. So it's just something to watch out for, I think, going forward.
Sid, if you don't mind me talking about it, I know you're in the special program in medicine. Is that something that swayed you to come to UConn in the first place?
Yeah, I think that was one of the deciding factors that led me to come to UConn. And that was actually the deciding factor. So it's like a really good opportunity for me at UConn. So that too, like you don't see it initially at the surface when people say UConn, but then you look at like what I'm doing at UConn, that's when, you know, you can start to make those comparisons as well.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity. I know a lot of people in SPIM probably have had the same experience as you, where they're like, SPIM is an amazing opportunity to have, like to have that at least just a tiny level of security, just knowing how hard it is to get into medical school nowadays.
All I have to say is congratulations for SPIM, because that's great.
That is amazing. What about you guys? How did you know that you wanted to be, you know, go into the medical field? Or did you have any pressure from your parents? Or was that not a factor?
For me, it was actually the opposite. I was the one who wanted to go into medical school, and my parents were trying to convince me not to go down the medical path because they knew how much it would, or how much it took. But once they knew that like I was determined to go down the medical path, they were fully supportive of my decision. They just wanted me to be sure that medicine was right for me. And I think that makes sense from their perspective and for me, because medicine is a lot. It's a lot of pressure you're putting on yourself. It's a lot of commitment. It's a lot that you have to know, as I'm finding out right now. So I think it's something that you as a person have to be sure of yourself. It's not something that you can be convinced of. Like, your parents can't force it on you. You can't just become a doctor just because your uncle or your great-great-grandfather was a doctor. So it's something that you have to want to, you have to have a drive to become a doctor. So that's why I personally chose to go into medicine.
I'm kind of with you. With my parents also were like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, yeah. But I kind of chose it because I knew, a part of me like knew I couldn't really do anything. Like, not that I couldn't do anything else. I didn't really want to do anything else. Like, I wanted to help people and just like be like my job. Like, every job has their own value. Don't get me wrong. But I wanted to be able to help people. Like, I feel like being whatever like doctor you may be, just like contributing to someone's like health and happiness, like that's what matters for me. And I honestly like I couldn't really do anything else, like lose my mind a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the case with me. I know for a while that actually my mom did want me to go into medicine. She did pressure me a little bit when I was like in middle school and high school, and actually for that reason I decided I didn't want to do medicine, because my mom, I was like, oh, I don't want to do what my mom does. I don't want to do what my mom tells me to do, right? So I'm fascinated by like patient care and whatnot and healthcare in general. So I was originally pre-pharmacy when I came to UConn, and then about a year later I started doing more research. I did a lot of shadowing, and I realized that medicine was actually the path for me, even though it's very difficult down that path. But yeah, so I guess it was a little bit of both for me. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about how college is going for everyone. So I'm a senior, Fanola, you're a sophomore, and Sid's a freshman. So we have all different types of years here. Let's talk about Sid. How was the transition coming in? Anything to do with pre-med? How was your opinions on the medical field? Anything you want to talk about?
So I think the transition coming in was a lot different. For me, what made things a little easier was the fact that I live nearby, like within the state. So it made things a little more accessible in terms of if I needed anything or, you know, like in terms of that. But class schedule wise, I just saw that there was a lot more flexibility in terms of like when I could get things done. And there's a lot more activities. So I tried things that I'd never done before. I joined a dance team, which I never imagined myself doing. And I'm having a lot of fun with that. So besides that, I think the transition's going really well for me, even now into the second semester. Second semester now, it's a little bit tougher because I'm trying to incorporate some of those pre-med requirements that we need for medical school. So now my schedule is a little more packed. Like I'm spending a lot more hours at the library. It's kind of become like a second home. I don't ever see my dorm really. But yeah, I think you see like a lot of these classes overlap. So there is like some level of integration between these like pre-med classes.
That's really good to hear. And mentally, it's okay.
Some days it's been a little exhausting, especially like with travel from comps. Like this week was a little bit hectic with 2-3 exams and then a little bit of like sleep deprivation. But I mean, that happens. That's a very rare occurrence, I'd say. So, but otherwise, I think I've been able to maintain a schedule. So it's going pretty well.
If you don't mind me asking, what are your, like, because you're in the SPIN program, what like classes are you taking like the semester?
So the requirements don't really change for us because of the SPIN program. We still take the same pre-med classes. But this semester, so I did bring in a lot of AP credit. A lot of kids choose to do that in the SPIN program and out. I'm taking organic chemistry, cell biology, and I'm taking a lot of general education requirements just to satisfy those cotton areas that are required for my major. So like Link 1010, and I'd have to like look at my schedule, but just a lot of those just feel like content areas that I need the credits for my major.
Okay, I was just wondering because like I know I would assume like you guys are like more like accelerated. So like even like as a freshman starting off like in like having organic chemistry like in your first year, just I feel like it could be tough. I don't know. So
yeah, it's definitely a lot. It's definitely like a fast paced class because I know we went straight from, you know, the general chemistry stuff to now we're making all these complex models and stuff and drawing shapes. Some of these lines don't ever make sense to me. I don't think they ever will. But yeah, we're moving at like, it's a really fast paced class. So it's really, I'd say it's tough to keep up with, but if you can keep up with it, it's a really interesting class because I've always been really into biology and chemistry. So I really like enjoy the material. So it's not too difficult to keep up with, I'd say.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm in Orgo 2 right now, and some things I'm like looking at, I'm like, I will never understand you, ever.
Yeah, there's just some things I won't ever get. But as long as I can, you know, take away the majority of it enough to get through an exam, I'm fine with it.
Organic chemistry was definitely a big low for me throughout my college experience. Yeah, it's tough.
It's a humbler for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I remember at Orgo Lab, like I would have it right 8 a.m. the lecture, and then I would have lab at from 9 to 12. Based on how I do in Orgo Lab will depict my mood for the entire day. And it's twice a week too, so it's so much.
Yeah, I heard it was it's 9 hours, right? With discussion?
Yeah, so you have discussion like 2 or 3 times a week, right? And then you have lab twice a week. So it's a long one, yeah. for sure. And I don't think there was another option to like not have like the 8 a.m. class. So I had to go at 8. And I have quizzes for like every class, and there's extra credit for like every class. So I had to go at 8 a.m. I could not miss a single one.
That's painful. That's really painful.
Fanola, what about you? How's your sophomore year going? How are you doing mentally and anything?
I would say like academically, like my classes have gotten more difficult because I have started like my major classes, like the PNB 2274 and 2275, which is like okay, but it's like a lot of information to like consume at once, and each there's like two professors that switch halfway, and they like have different ways of testing you, kind of like all exams are multiple choice, but one professor kind of like is making it more application based, whereas like you need to know the material and how to apply it, whereas like the other professor is just like a lot of memorization. So that kind of like trips you up sometimes, because like you would tend to do better with one professor versus the other. But otherwise, I've been going to the gym, which has honestly been helping, because it's like I've formed a routine, so that's like been helping my mental health a lot more. Just like forming a little routine has been helping me.
Yeah, honestly, I think exercise is so, so important, especially when it comes to mental health and you know, doing all the academic things that we do in our daily lives. I'm also on the same dance team as Sid, so it definitely gives me structure in the day because we do have practice quite often. Yeah, so I am a senior, so I've been through almost 4 years of being a pre-med. Well, I guess three, because I was pre-pharmacy for 1 year. But I think my mental health has been like an emotional roller coaster. It's going up and down every year. I know freshman and sophomore year were particularly hard just academically. And I think something that I have dealt with, I don't know if you guys have as well, is having all of my self-worth be put into how well I do in my classes. And it's so bad, because in high school, I feel like I did generally well, and I don't even think I tried that hard in high school. But once I got to college, it was a whole new ball game for me, and I wasn't doing as well as I had originally hoped, and immediately my self-confidence and my self-worth just was down the toilet. And it's so hard, because you don't really want to tell people that, or you don't want to really talk about it, because again, it's a stigma in the medical field. Do you guys have any similar experiences to that?
All the time. Any time that I might, like, if I just, it kills me. It kills me inside. I feel like a failure on, like, 50 levels. I get that all the time. Because also, I look at, like, I have friends not in, like, pre-med, but they're STEM, like, majors, and they're, like, kind of, like, flexing their grades, and I'm, like, I always stay quiet. I've learned to, like, no one will, like, ever know how I'm doing in school other than me, because I'm just, like, scared that it's just, like, I might get judged, or it's just, like, I already feel like a failure. Like, I don't want, like, somebody else to, like, also make me feel like a failure.
Yeah, I'll look at my non-pre-med friends all the time, and they'll be, like, you know, oh, I made Dean's List this semester, and I'll be, like, I was so close. And it just makes you feel like, you know, sometimes it feels like you're putting too much pressure on yourself, like, because there's an end goal, there's a long-term end goal that you have that they don't always have, or they don't have. And like short-term, it hurts, but I always try to focus on the long-term. That's kind of what gets me around it.
Yeah, I know a lot of my friends will, like, be like, oh, like, they're medicine, they're not going to make money for, like, years. They're going to go to school for, like, so long. But, yeah, the end goal is very, very important to think about every once in a while. Yeah, it's really hard, because I'm assuming, like, a lot of us did really well in high school, and then we just came here, and we're like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Yeah.
So, something that I, like, feel, like, with my, like, friends, right, like, some of them have, like, a more of an excess, like, they, more free time, say, like, because they have less, like, requirements to, like, do in their classes, or just they don't need to, like, study as much. So, like, sometimes I kind of feel, like, maybe, like, left out, like, not, like, I should be in the library, and I do go do that, but it's, like, you know, do you ever, like, kind of get FOMO sometimes because you have to stay in versus, like...
Oh, my God, FOMO. I am the biggest proponent of it. I am just... sometimes I really have to force myself to just sit on my desk and just do my work. But then I like go on like Snapchat or like, and I look at everyone's story and I'm like, oh, they're having so much fun. I just want to join. But it sucks. FOMO is so bad for me, especially for me. I don't know. What about you, Sid? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, no, I feel like I don't understand where people are creating this time from. Like, I just feel like they just sometimes just don't do the work for their classes. And that's how they create the time for themselves. But I also don't want to make that assumption because I feel like, you know, everybody has their own paths. So, yeah, sometimes I just do have to force myself to go do work and then just assume that, you know, or I have to just take it and say, hey, I'm going to miss out on this. That's fine because I have to get work done. But yeah.
The day feels so short sometimes. It's like there's not enough hours in the day to like have fun with your friends and whatnot. It's rough.
I think it's just like rough, like trying to balance it all. Like sometimes you're just like, I have work to do. And they're like, well, don't. And it's like, well, I don't have that option. I don't know. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't know where they find the time in the day. Like people going out from like Wednesday to like Monday during Halloween. I'm like, how do you have the capacity to do that?
And Halloween is like usually my worst midterm time too. Like I remember last year, I think I had like 3 exams within a span of like 2 days. And I was like, everyone's going out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday again. I was just, my goodness. Yeah. But I mean, good for them, I guess. Do you guys have any tips on work-life balance, or are you still figuring it out yourselves?
I've kind of, like, if I, like, do a lot of work, like, I say Sunday through, like, Thursday, then I could, like, give myself a little break. But also, like, doing just work, like, I know, like, Saturday, like, at least last year for me, I was like, Saturday's my off day. Like, if you do work during the days, then you're, like, kind of more available in the evenings.
I just know that if I have something like that weekend, or if I have something, you know, like if I'm going home for the weekend, because I know I'm not going to be productive at home, I try to structure it so I'm like doing work later than I usually would, or I try to fit stuff in between classes where I might usually like get food with friends. I just try to get food and do work while eating. So I just try to fit work in wherever I can so that I'm not doing it during times when I know I won't be productive.
Yeah, it's like kind of like multitasking, right? Yeah, I feel like the only way I'm able to hang out with my friends is through extracurricular activities. Honestly, otherwise I don't really hang out with friends like as much as I should. Otherwise, I'm like working. But like during extracurriculars, like you're already with your friends, and I guess it's kind of like doing two things at once. Anything else to add about anything, Fanola and Sid? I am all set. What about you two?
I am also all set.
Sid, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you can join another time as well. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. If you are listening and would like to get involved and you go to UConn, you could follow the Instagram at medical.minds.matter. And you can also follow the chapter at MMM_UConn.
Also, if you're listening and don't go to UConn, and want to still be a part of this, there is a national organization that you can become a part of. And if you just like look up Medical Minds Matter, volunteer, and it's a great way to learn about the topic.
Until next time, I'm Farnaz.
And I'm Fanola.
And you are listening to Medical